Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families across the country to unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. With us today, we have Kristen. Kristen, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good, good. So Kristen, what state are you in, first of all?
I'm in Texas.
Oh, I'm jealous. I'm in New York. Okay, so how long have you been homeschooling and what are the ages of your kids?
We've been homeschooling about 14 years. My oldest that I homeschooled is 19 now. And then I have a 19-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 13, as I think, 12, 10, 7, 6, 4, and 3.
How many does that make? So
we have 10 here. The oldest one is my husband's daughter. We didn't homeschool her. She came to us as an adult, 19. And then we have 9, and we've homeschooled all 9 of them.
Wow, that is so amazing. Do people like myself who are new to it and are like my jaw just dropped when you're like, we've been doing it for 14 years and there's 10 of us. Do like people like me like annoy you? Are you like, oh my God, it's not like I'm from planet Mars.
No, I just tell people, I think sometimes when you say like, I have 9 kids or I have 10 kids, people think like relative to whatever stage of life they're in. So like if they have toddlers, they're thinking, oh my goodness, she has 10 toddlers, but I don't, you know? And so I have adults and then all the way down to toddlers. But so I think a lot of times it's just perspective, like people associate whatever they're going through in that time with, oh, that must be so hard, but they don't stop and go, oh, well, there's a span of ages, you know? And so, no, I don't get annoyed. I used to get annoyed about people talking about our family size, but it doesn't bother me anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, because like I have 2 and that you're perfectly right in what you're saying. I have 5 and 1 and, but the 5-year-old does help out a lot with the 1-year-old. So I almost can't imagine them being even any closer in age and having like 2, because like today I had to go take a shower. I'm like, can you just keep her alive for like a couple of minutes? And, you know, he did. She's alive still. She did write all over herself in marker, but it was washable marker. We put her in the bath after, you know, so like, they do help out. And it's good for them to have, for a 5-year-old to have that little bit of responsibility too, to like learn, all right, I gotta help mom out. And it kind of makes them feel like they're more part of the household too. Like they're an actual, a part of the household, not just like I'm the kid, mom's the mom, you know, but like they're a part of helping make the household go around when they have responsibility like that. So
that is
cool. So what made you homeschool? What had you been homeschooled yourself?
No, my mom was a teacher in the public school system for 35 years and But my mom got really sick when I was in 3rd grade and she homeschooled these 3 boys. Like she was hired to be their teacher, I guess is what you could say. But they were homeschooled and they were like a rancher family. And I think that was my first introduction to homeschooling. And I was always so jealous that those boys got to be home and be homeschooled. And then we had our first one and it was time for him to go to school. And I just could not imagine like sending my little child away from me all day. And so we did a university model school for his kindergarten year. And so he went to school 2 days a week and then he was home the other 3 days a week and Fridays were optional. They did some like fine arts kind of things and things like that. But when we realized very quickly that our family was growing pretty rapidly and that the financial aspect of being able to continue to afford that university model school for all of our children was not going to be feasible. And so I felt like I've got my feet wet enough, you know, because we were doing the assignments and things on the other days. And then I felt like I can do this. And we've honestly never looked back. I've never even considered putting them in school. You know, it's just been such a gift and such a blessing. So.
Aww. Now, how come your mother didn't homeschool you with the other boys? Had you asked?
I guess because we were already, in school, and we had been in school for, we lived in a really small town, so it wasn't really a big deal for her to drop us off at school and stuff. But man, their schedule, they only, it was so short compared to what I was doing. This is all these really appealing things. And so looking back on that, I think that really impacted, what I wanted. Of course, our homeschool has changed, and evolved over the years, and things have changed. We live in a large metropolitan area now, and there's a lot available, but our kids are very involved in a fine arts academy here where
Okay.
they go and take musical theater and ballet, and they're in choirs. We have really large choirs. And so, we go to school,
Yeah.
in essence, in a way, but very much homeschooling as well. So we're doing our regular homeschool stuff on top of all the fine arts things.
So it's like their academics. Yeah, their academics are at home, but then they go there for the extracurricular type things. So how often is that? I mean, that I haven't heard necessarily of a place like that. Is it a school just set up for fine arts, like for homeschoolers, or do actual schoolers go there too? Regular public schoolers go there too?
No, it's a school designed for homeschool families. So we go all day Monday and all day Tuesday because I have six kids. So it takes, the whole day to get everybody's classes. But it's very college kind of like in that they change classes, and they move from one thing to the other. So like my littlest ones take a music class and do ballet, and then they do an art class. And then we also take private violin lessons there. And then my other children, my older ones, are doing the musical theater and the choir, and they also do art and play instruments. One of them's in the band. And then when they get older, even when they get in the high school and junior high age, they can start taking even some academic classes if you want to utilize that at that time. We have only taken Spanish as far as academic classes there at this time. But my oldest is 16, so we probably will do a few more academic classes there.
Okay, so is that like a fee that you have to pay to be part of that?
Yeah, it's tuition based, and all of our teachers are very highly qualified. A lot of them actually grew up in the school. So it's really neat because the integrity of the school really has stayed intact over 25 years. And
Wow.
yeah, so a lot of them, they've gone to universities and gotten music degrees and come back and teach the choirs, or they've gone off and gotten art, studied art or whatever, and came back and done those things. And so, yeah, they're very highly qualified. It really is one of a kind, not really replicated anywhere else. So that's kind
Yeah,
of how
that's
things have
cool.
changed for us over the years.
Yeah, I
So,
haven't had anyone talk about a place specifically like that. I mean, there are definitely things like co-ops and very interesting co-ops and like super cool things that I wish we had around here. But yeah, this is the first I've heard of it kind of to that degree, which that sounds awesome. I mean, I hope more things like that pop up around, that just sounds cool. Now, a question I get a lot from people, and I'm sure I've touched on it throughout the past year, but since you have some older kids and you've been doing this for 14 years, let me hear your perspective on what do the older kids need in order to graduate, to be considered a high school graduate, or if college is their choice, if college is their path, what do they need to get into college? Like, are there tests? Is there a GED? Is there a different sort of program? And I'm sure it varies state to state and college to college what they would need. But what is has been your experience?
Well, I really think as far as my older kids, when as they start getting older, I start kind of exploring what it is that they want to do in the future. What is your goal? What are you looking at doing? What direction are we going? We're not a college is the only way to go kind of family, and so far we haven't been in that college situation. My oldest son is actually a video gamer, and he makes money playing video games. And he told me at 14 he was going to do that, and I told him for years, people don't make money playing video games, and here he is, so proving us wrong. So he gives a lot of energy and time to that, and he's doing very well. My 16-year-old now wants to be a pilot, so now we're starting to explore what are the requirements, to get into flight school. And obviously that doesn't look the same as like getting into a college. Now, I know in Texas, to get into a university in Texas, they want to see a transcript that looks pretty much like a high school, a Texas public high school transcript. So they have, four Englishes, four maths, four science, four history, whatever those all, entail. So I think it really depends state to state, but I do know that homeschoolers are really highly sought after in colleges these days because they're starting to see the differences in those kids and that they're driven, they're able to study on their own, they're able to be successful in the coursework because they've learned those skills from being at home. And so I would never let that deter me if that's how people are feeling, because it definitely is not a deterrent. I see a lot of people that say, well, we'll homeschool till high school and then we'll put them into high school. I'm like, high school is the most formative years of their life. Why would you do that? So I really think more than anything, it probably varies state to state and university to university. But for us, we just kind of are going based on each kid and what their goals are and what interests them. And I feel like my opinion on education has changed a lot in 14 years.
Really, yeah. Mine has changed in the last couple of years as well. Yeah, when you read books like Dumbing Us Down or Free to Learn and talking to, I have so many teachers that come on this podcast to say, I was a teacher and I left my profession to homeschool my children. And right there, that just shows you like they're in it. They can see that, oh, maybe there's a better way. So, what are some of the examples on how your opinion has changed over the years of education?
Well, I think because a lot of us, I was raised in a public school setting. And so when I was first starting out, teaching the boys at home, I thought, oh, it has to look like school, right? So I was always trying to like make a classroom and put up like calendars. And I was actually a teacher aide my senior year in high school in kindergarten room. So I thought, we have to decorate. And I grew up watching my mom decorate her classroom so that we had to have all these special calendars and charts and all these things on the walls and, make everything. Everybody had to have a desk and a chair. And then, we slowly like kind of put those things away. And then I was always seeking curriculum, I guess, that made me feel like, oh, we're checking off all the boxes. And then I started realizing we don't really need all of this. These things really aren't that important. And so, does my first grader really need Texas history? No, she needs to play and she needs to learn and she needs to be read to. Now I just tell people, I'm like, read, 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 read books to your kids, read them all day long above their level. Just read and read and read because they learn so much just from being read to. And I say when my first was learning how to read, I was so stressed about him learning how to read. And I thought, oh my goodness, we're 5, 6 years old, he has to learn how to read. And he just wasn't ready, but I wasn't wise enough to realize that at the time. And so now I let the reading process evolve on its own. When they start showing me that they're ready, when they start recognizing letters, or then they start recognizing words out in public, and then they start trying to write the names of the people in our family. And that's been very consistent across all of my kids, and they've all done it at different ages. Then I'm like, okay, you're starting to become aware. They're starting to see literacy all over the place. And they have that, they call it phonemic awareness. They're starting to realize that these letters make words. And so then that is when I will start to introduce reading skills to them. But I've had kids that were 4 years old that were reading, and I've had kids that were 8 and a half that were not ready till 8 and a half. And so it really depends on the child. And I think that's one thing the public schools are really getting wrong. You can't put all of these kids into a box. And you wonder, well, this kid is misbehaving. Well, there's probably a lot more to that. He's either really bored or he's really frustrated. And so I think not boxing everybody into one, not expecting everybody to do the things. And then, as more time has progressed and you read more books and you learn more things, and we've really adapted a Charlotte Mason philosophy in our house. And we don't really start any formal schooling until 7 years old because, she talked about a lot of that. Children are not really ready for formal education until 7, and even then, it should be very light. They can learn everything they need to know in high school to be successful, and
Wow.
that's really interesting.
That's a big statement right there. I hadn't heard anyone put it that way before. They can learn everything they need to know in just those four high school years at home with us.
Well, and I
Wow.
mean, they're not going to become 15 years old and not know how to read. I mean,
Right.
that's just not how life is. I mean, they learn from being around us. They learn from being read to. They learn there's words everywhere. We're surrounded by words, you know, and so to sit down and force these things when they're not ready.
I just had the 1 year anniversary of this podcast, and I kind of wrote on Instagram, these are the things I've learned over the course of the year. And one of them was that our kids are all learning different things at different times because of their different life experiences, their different interests, and that's perfectly okay. And the fact that we, and I'm guilty of it too, I'm not saying it to be, above anyone else. I'm guilty of it too. I see it in myself. The reason that we want to put them on par, so to speak, with other kids their age, like, oh, this one's reading, mine isn't, is our own insecurity as a homeschooling parent. And it's not that that's a bad thing. You don't want your kid falling behind, okay? That's understandable. You don't want people to think that you're not actually working with them. Like, oh, look at, she quit her job to homeschool and they don't do a lick of learning all day long. Like, those are things that weigh on us in the back of our heads as we're like, come on, let's sit down and do this curriculum for 20 minutes. Let's just learn these sound. What sound does a U make? Come on. Especially because the English language is just not easy and it doesn't make
It's
sense.
not, it
So,
doesn't.
but yeah, but those are our own insecurities as the parent, and we do have to let that go a little, and I'm totally guilty of it, but we do have to let it go because, like you said, they're not going to be 15 and not know how to read. I mean, it's if you're reading to them, they will pick it up. Well, they'll get interested when they need to know how to, read directions for a project that they're working on or something like that. Or they see that their friends can read and they're like, hey, I want to be able to do that too. But yeah, to put it on them and force them through it, that is our own insecurity as the parent. And, we have to lighten up on ourselves a little bit and realize that we're on a different journey than people in public school.
Well, and I think that we, if you were in public school, if that's the system that you went through, it's a constant everyday battle to undo those things. And so that's something that I still, 14 years in, have struggled with, is undoing all of the things that, oh, this is the normal way to do it. What's not? There's nothing normal about it. Schools have not evolved. Everything, cars have evolved, homes have evolved. Everything's evolved in 100 years. School still looks the same. It's not changing with the times, you know? And so I just really feel like a lot of it is just going into yourself and figuring out what truly is education. Life is learning. Doing life is learning. And unless you have your children locked in a closet all day long with nothing to look at, they're going to learn. And you know, it's such a testament to me when my 16-year-old went to our school last year, and I put him in Spanish one, and he's never been in a classroom in his life, and never, I don't do tests or quizzes, you know, it's just we learn to mastery and then we move on. And so he went into this classroom setting, very pretty typical classroom setting. And she gives them quizzes and she gives them exams and all this. And my kid made an A. He had never had to study. He taught himself how to study. He didn't come and say, "Hey, mom, can you teach me how to study this step?" No, he just figured it out and he studied and he made an A on his quizzes and tests. And I said, that is homeschooling right there. That is the reward of homeschooling, because if I have taught him anything, I've taught him how to learn. And he knows how to find the information that he needs and how to be a learner. So he may not have had 4 years of, you know, high school level math, but if he went into college and he took college level math, he would know how to gain the information that he needed to learn.
You guys know I am a big fan of the Tuttle Twins. I had Connor Boyack, the writer of these books, on episode 24. I reached out to his company asking to let me be an affiliate because I strongly believe in their books and their message. In the age 5 through 11 book series, which I read to my son all the time, I mean, he actually asks us to read these books with him. Book 5, Road to Serfdom, talks about what happens to a local town with local businesses when corporations start moving in. Book 6, The Golden Rule, talks all about Ethan and Emily's experience at summer camp through a series of cheating and manipulation on certain races that they're required to complete. It talks about how the golden rule of treating others how we want to be treated ourselves is how we all should be conducting our lives. Education Vacation talks about John Taylor Gatto and the creation of the school system and what it was actually intended to do, which you get to learn about by following Ethan and Emily on a trip to Europe. And Book 11, The Messed Up Market, it takes you through the journey of kids trying to create small businesses as they learn all the laws and rules that government has put in place to actually make it very difficult for them. You learn all about interest, savings versus borrowing, low interest rates versus high interest rates, and supply and demand. And these are just some of the books in that series. If you'd like 40% off of the series for age 5 through 11, use code Cheryl40, that's Cheryl40, with the link in my show's description or at thehomeschoolhowto.com under the listener discounts page. I also want to let you know about some other books that the Tuttle Twins have out. America's History, Volume 1 and 2, which teaches all about the inspiring ideas of America's founding without the bias and hidden agendas that's found in other history books for kids and most likely in the schools. There's also books on how to identify fallacies, modern day villains, all stuff that we want to be talking to our kids about, whether you homeschool or not. These books bring up important discussions that we should be having with our children. Use the link in my show's description or, like I said, at thehomeschoolhowto.com under listener discounts.
And that's the thing. We want them to be lifelong learners. And I feel like a lot of times we keep them from doing that or we ruin that for them. You know, it's like kids hate to read. Why do kids hate to read? Because you're forcing them to read stuff that they're not interested in. Take your kid to the library and let them pick the books. I promise you, they will find something they love. I have voracious readers at my house. Hours and hours and hours a day my kids are reading. But it's because they have discovered the love of reading for themselves. I didn't discover that for them. And I think a lot of times it happens that way. Yeah.
That is so true. And to go off of that, I do remember my sixth grade reading class. It literally, the class was called Reading. We're going into reading class. And I remember I wanted to read a Goosebumps book. She would not let me read that. She's like, no, you are going to read, you know, this or that. But like, what's the difference? You know, read a Goosebumps book. Who cares? You're reading. Right. And that's something that would interest me. So I just sat there with whatever book they forced me to read and just looked at it and just turned the pages. You know, I wasn't really reading. And how sad is that? Like, I never thought about it till you said that. You're not the first parent to say, let the kids pick the books, which I do have to do a better job with. Yeah. And it's so funny because my son will come out with these books, Pinkalicious. And I'm like, oh God, your father's going to be like, what library are you taking him to?
When you can pick like quality literature, like, because my kids read to themselves, but I also read to them. So if, you know, I really want them to be exposed to something, then during our read aloud time, then I'll read the things that, you know, I really want them to be exposed to. And they may love it, they may not. Most of the time they find out, oh, I really do like that book. You know, The Secret Garden is one of our all-time favorite read aloud books. I read it to primarily boys. I have 7 boys. I read it to them and then we watched the movie and they loved it and they still talk about that. My little girls are huge Anne of Green Gables fans. They're 7 and 6 because I love that. I read it to them. You know, they discovered, wow, this is really good. It's good quality literature, but our kids aren't always going to pick that to read. But the more we read those things to them, the more they start to appreciate that. And it's written on such a different level that then they start looking for things and things like that start to become more appealing. My oldest son read Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Oh, you know, but he learned to like other things because I read it to him.
Yeah. So that's a book that you read to him or he wanted to read?
No, he read those to himself.
He wanted to read
Yeah,
those.
that was not my, those are not my favorite for sure. But he was reading something, you know?
Yeah,
So.
exactly. Yeah, and I'll use the Read Aloud Revival book lists a lot for
Yeah.
things that I get to them because my kid, you know, it's five, they're 5 and 1, so I
Yeah.
do the reading to them, and we read a lot of the Tuttle Twins books, and
Yeah.
I love those because we'll kind of provoke conversation. I mean, even though my son's 5, I feel like I've been talking to him about real world things and how, you know,
Sure.
sometimes people can lie. Sometimes government doesn't have your best interests at heart. This is why we have, you know, this is thinking. This is how people think. You know, does this make sense? Does it not? So I love the Tuttle Twins books for that because they're always bringing up real world concepts like that, but in kid friendly terms.
Sure.
And I love, you know, because I didn't grow up learning anything about nature. It's like
Yeah.
it to me now. I see a complete like this wasn't by accident that they had you. You know, women go into the workforce, put the kids in school at an earlier age. You know, you're kind of tearing apart the family unit very early on. And then you are kind of, you're in these cement walls all day. Maybe you take one field trip a year. Maybe you have a 20-minute recess. I don't even know if they have that anymore.
Yeah, a
But,
lot of places don't.
right. There's no connection with nature. And I know my husband said something like, oh, well, we, you know, hatched baby chicks once, but I'm like, we didn't do that where I'm came from. I know literally nothing about nature. Couldn't even tell you how grass grew. You know, I moved
Yeah.
out to the country when I was in my 30s, when I met my husband, and it's the last decade has been like, whoa, like we need nature. We need it. Like you need you want science? Just go outside. There is
Yes.
so much to learn. And the fact that we're just losing it, because I see my nieces and my nephews, and they have no connection to, I can't say none of them do, but majority have zero connection to the outside world around us. And it's really sad. And or connection to reading, you know, it's really sad. I mean, I didn't grow up with my mother reading to me. I've said that before on the podcast. I don't. Definitely, my father definitely didn't read to me.
Yeah.
Maybe the like he read his Bud Light can to me. I don't know, but like
Yeah.
I just didn't grow up with that. So it's crazy how it shifted. And you mentioned before that schooling hasn't changed in 100 years, but I would push back on that. I think before 100 years, it was more of the homeschooling, and then the Rockefellers around 1900 got. They started putting in millions and millions of dollars in the school system, and it slowly went into this, you know, let's do a 3-year one room schoolhouse,
Yeah.
and then expanded. So it went from 3 years to now 17 years if you add in college, and geez,
Yeah.
even more than that if you add in preschools, which are now full day in some places. Before care, after care. So it's like they've expanded, but I would
Yeah.
argue that kids know less and less and less.
I agree with you about that for sure. Yeah.
Scary.
It is scary. Well, they're not really, it's not really about education. It's more about indoctrination.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we want them to know. And we're kind of just creating like, I don't know. I kind of see like a Willy Wonka-ish like conveyor belt, you know, stamp. We were just creating these people one right after the other to be compliant, to think that
Yes.
education is the only thing, you know, and that
Yes.
you have to go through this system and then what do you mean you're not going to college? You know, what are you going to do with your life? How are you going to be successful? You know, and there's so much more, and there's so many ways to make money, even just online in the digital space. And, you know, people just don't understand. And that's why I didn't understand when my son was telling me, I'm going to make money playing a video game. And I thought, like, one out of a million people does that, right? I mean, that was my thought, you know, because when he was 14, I mean, that was 5 years ago, and I feel like we've come a long ways in 5 years technologically, and
Yeah.
it is a real thing, and they really are making money doing these things. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of hours. I mean, he definitely works a full-time amount of hours or plays video games for a full-time amount of hours, but it does become like a job, you know?
Wow. Maybe he has pointers for me on how to make money podcasting. Because
Yeah,
right now it's just a hobby.
yeah.
An expensive hobby. But I'm sure there are ways. I just haven't had the time or
Yeah, there really are, I'm sure. There's so many ways to make money just by being on
So how
Instagram
does
and
he make money playing video games? Like on a YouTube channel and then sponsors or something?
he's on a platform called Twitch, and so he gets on there and he streams, and then Twitch pays him based on viewers and people subscribe to his channel every month, and he makes money based on those subscriptions and stuff like that. Yeah.
So people will subscribe to watch him play video games?
Yes. It's
Why?
$6 a month to subscribe to his channel. Yeah.
What's going on in the world today? What are these people doing with their lives that are just watching a man play video games?
I know, it's so strange.
Are they trying to get pointers so they can beat the game too?
I feel like a lot of them just get on there for entertainment. I mean, I remember when he was a little boy, he's always loved like watching people play like Minecraft. He used to love Minecraft. And so, I mean, I remember like 7, 8, 9 years old, he watched this guy named Preston, who actually we found out in the last few years attended this fine art school that our kids go to. But he
Cool.
was a YouTuber, and he said he used to tell the teachers, I've actually talked with some teachers about him, but he would tell his teacher, one of our English teachers, I don't need to learn how to write because I'm going to be a YouTuber. And she was like, I mean, that was probably 15 years ago. And she was like, Preston, you can't be a YouTuber. You have to learn to
Showed
write.
you.
Yeah. And she said, man, he showed me. She said, but now he's writing scripts and things like that. So he actually did need writing skills as well.
So they were
yeah. So,
both right.
yeah. So, then my son watched him, and I just couldn't believe, like, why? Why are you watching somebody else play a video game? Like, that is so boring. But now he's the guy that people are watching. He's actually number one in the world on his platform. And yeah.
That's
So
so
it's
cool.
pretty.
That's like yeah, my son, he used to be real into Hudson's Playground on YouTube, and every time my husband walked in, he'd be like, "Why are you watching this? This is the stuff we do together outside. Why are you watching this kid and his dad?" So a couple of times I took the camera outside when they were doing the same things that Hudson and his dad do, and I'm like, "All right, I'm here to videotape you. Let's go." My husband didn't even want to look at the camera, let alone talk to it and explain what he's doing. And I'm like, that's why that man is probably a millionaire on YouTube and
Yeah.
you're not. You know, like it does take work. Even podcasting, I had no idea what I was getting into. I was kind of like, well, I'm interviewing homeschoolers in my area anyway, just because I'm simply asking them so many questions. Why don't I start a podcast on it? Because I'd met a guy where my son was wrestling and he was like, yeah, I have a podcast. And I'm like, that's a thing you can just do? Wow. So I did it, and just all of the intricacies, like editing it, because a lot of times, like if my internet's not good or your internet's not good, the tracks won't be in alignment or there's gaps, and you know, so I spend so much time like making sure the conversation sounds smooth, or if you get someone that says a lot, which is usually me, you know, taking out all those or the lip smacks or whatever. Like sometimes there's a 5-year-old running around in the background. So yeah, like you really don't. And I don't think my husband, you know, he saw this dad having fun with his kid on YouTube and he's like, well, we could do that. But when you actually get down into it, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that they're
There
doing and
is.
setting up and editing. And then even just getting it all downloaded and then uploaded to YouTube and writing descriptions and this and that. And I know we have AI to do that for us now, but that costs a lot of money too. So it is a lot more work. Like you said, it's a full-time job for him, but that's cool that he's doing what he loves. And I'm sure it'll open even more doors for him. So that's cool. So your son that wants to be a pilot, is GED, you think, the route that he would get, or can he get like an actual, whatever the regular high school diploma is, or do some colleges say like, we don't even need a diploma or GED, we just need the coursework that you've done?
Yeah, from my experience, they don't really have a lot of those educational like prerequisites.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of, I mean, we're just starting to kind of look into it, but as far as I can see, there's not a whole lot of like, oh, we want to see your transcript or anything like that. It's more like a trade kind of in a way.
Okay. How do your kids feel about, like, did they go to proms or things like that, play sports? Or you can do that in Texas, right? If you're a homeschooler, Or like, how do they just feel about, you know, dating or having the friends? Or do they like homeschooling, or are they a little bit resentful?
No, my kids would never tell you they wanted to go to school. But a lot of that comes from our fine arts school, where they've built the most beautiful friendships, the most beautiful relationships with other kids. And Texas actually hosts one of the largest homeschool proms maybe in the country.
Wow.
So, and it's real close to us. They do a 2-night event. So you can either attend on a Friday night or a Saturday night, but there's about 2,000 kids each night. And it's an enormous event. They rent out a whole convention center hotel, and the parents have to volunteer. So you buy the tickets to go to proms, like $125. And then the parent has to do something. You either have to work for 4 hours, or you have to pay $150 so they can find somebody else to work.
Wow.
So it's very much pulled off by, you know, the parents and the volunteers, but it is an enormous event. So I don't really feel like they're missing out in that regard. And for our family, we don't do dating. We do purposeful, you know, seeking of relationships, but that comes when they're ready to marry. So
nice. So yeah. Has that been an issue where you've had a child that has an interest and you have to have a conversation?
I think because we started talking to him about it at such a young age that for our family, this is not something that we're going to do. They haven't really came up against us as far as that goes. My 16-year-old has had some friends who are girls, you know, that he talks to, you know, on a regular basis or whatever. But as far as a typical dating kind of situation, it's just not something that has really been a thing, hasn't come up.
Now, what about screen time? How does that go over now that you have older kids? A lot of mm-hmm. the interviewees I have the younger kids. So we kind of think about like, what are we going to do? I mean, screens are already leaking into the 5-year-old stuff, but how does that work in your house? And is there pushback?
There really isn't. My older ones, you know, they have devices. So my oldest one has a phone. My two oldest boys have a phone. And then our 13-year-old, he'll be 14 in a couple weeks. He doesn't have a phone yet. But our younger boys do have iPads. And so, but I keep them very locked down, and they have to have a password from me to do anything or spend time. So I would say, you know, as far as they go, maybe about an hour a day is all they're spending on screens, except for like TV watched as a family. We only have one TV in our house. So, you know, the TV may be on at different times throughout the day, but, you know, it might be anything from Bluey to, I don't know, something a teenager wanted to watch. So I'm not real strict about like timing the TV, just because the littles don't really sit and watch it for very long. You know, they'll watch what they want to watch. And then the older kids sometimes will, but they really spend so much time either reading, or they all play an instrument. And so there's a lot of piano and violin and guitar playing that goes on. And I think because they have all those other outlets, it just really hasn't been, you know, much of a thing. I will say when my older one was younger, it was a lot more of a battle with him with screens, but I can see why now, because that was what he was chasing after. And so video games, it kind of put a bad taste in my mouth because of how he really did get addicted to it, you know, and it bothered me as a mom. And mm-hmm. so the younger kids, I said, I'm sorry, but we're not doing that ever again. So we don't have video game systems. My oldest did buy the kids an old Wii for Christmas, but that's a family event, you know, if we play, then we all play as a family, and then otherwise it doesn't come on. So it's tough, you know, we live in a very technological world, so it really is hard to find the balance, but I don't know. I don't know that I'm doing it all right in that department.
Right. And none of us ever will know if we are doing it right or wrong. I mean, in my house, we've got 6 TVs, but only 2 we ever really use. It's more that the other ones are, there's only 1 smart TV in the house. And that's just because we kind of like had to get a new one. But I'm like, we're not getting rid of the old TVs, because I don't want there to be like capabilities of video. I guess when we got the smart TV, I didn't realize even what it was. And I'm like, wait a minute, you can talk, and then the remote will just like put on what? It can video us like that, creep me out. So I was like, we're not getting rid of any of the other TVs, because I don't want to be dependent on smart TVs.
And I think we're behind a little, because our TV doesn't do that. So.
Oh my God. But they make them so cheap too. It's like $120. I know. And here's your, Oh, well, you know what? They're dangling that carrot because, yeah, for
Yeah.
$120, you get a really good picture. But we can also watch you like the movie 1984 or book.
Yeah.
But
Look,
when I
yeah.
saw the movie, that's what the TV did. It was watching everybody. So I'm like, yeah, I don't want that. And the same thing with, we just hooked up my husband's Nintendo 64 from when he was a
Oh.
kid. So we have that on a non-smart TV. So I'm like, that's what you can do for video games. And he'll
Yeah.
ask to play a lot, but you know, a lot of times we say no, or it's just something him and dad go down and play. And I've got Mario Kart from eBay, so he's playing Mario Kart.
Sure. Hey, that's a great game, and that's a great system.
Are you trying to pick a curriculum but feel a little overwhelmed at the variety of options? Me too. I mean, how do you pick a curriculum when you don't know what each one has to offer? That's been my biggest problem. Well, I am here to help. I just launched a premium content series. Psst, that means it's $3 a month, which will just help cover the cost of running the podcast. In my curriculum series, I interview homeschooling students and parents and curriculum creators about specific curriculum each week so that you can take the guesswork out of your curriculum choices. I'll be asking questions like, what does the day-to-day look like with this curriculum? What does it cover from a bird's eye view? How long does one lesson take to complete? How many lessons does the curriculum contain and what does it cost? Did you have to order the book or could you download them and print them somewhere like your library? Does this curriculum have a lot of games, writing, or crafts? And did your child enjoy this curriculum? Can you do it with more than one child at a time? And if I did this curriculum with my child, would I need to add any sort of supplements to it? These are all questions that I've had while I search for the perfect curriculum to suit my son's personality and my expectations. Let's face it, there is no one curriculum out there that will work best for every child and adult. So I invite you to join me in my search to find out what every curriculum has to offer so that you can feel confident in your curriculum choices and enjoy your homeschooling journey that much more. Right where you find all of the homeschool how-to podcast episodes, you'll see my curriculum series, and you can subscribe today.
I think the older systems aren't nearly as addictive. This is my personal opinion. I have no facts to back it up, but I feel like the graphics are not at the same level. And so it's not quite as, like, I don't know what you call it, but it does something in their brain. You know, it's kind of like that show CoComelon that just never stops. And they say that it's very stimulating and addicting because the kids' minds moving so much, and it's causing a lot of this, like, attention disorders and things like that. So I think the older gaming consoles are not quite up to the graphics, you know, and
You're 1,000,000% right on that. And I've talked about this before. I heard someone on a podcast say that as, especially as the brain is developing, they're getting used to seeing so many screen changes per second. And that's whether it's on social media, the TV, or their video games, right? So as your brain's developing, you have these, you know, synapses that are, you know, or whatever, going through your brain, making these connections so that you might see 1,000,000 screen changes per second, but then when you read a book or sit outside and it is the same screen, you know, your brain's going, whoa, I don't know what to do. I'm used to seeing way more than this. I'm getting anxious because I'm waiting for the next screen change and it's not happening. So that actually gives you anxiety and the nervousness and makes you lash out. And then I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but it seems to me like that mixed with a little bit of, you know, sugar or whatever they're putting, red dye 40,
Who died?
and you know, your brain's going nuts, and then now you got ADHD and they need to put you on medicine. So, you know, it's a whole, yeah, big cycle of just the teardown of childhood.
It really is.
What is your advice to the mom or dad who is thinking like, oh, gee, I don't like what's going on in the school system, but I have no clue where to start with homeschooling. Like, where would you tell them even to just begin their search?
And that's tough because I always tell people you need a period of time to kind of de-school yourself from, you know, all the things going on. So if you decide to pull your kids out, first of all, I would say don't hesitate. Believe in yourself. You can do it. You know, all of us are doing it. And if you feel like you can't, that, I mean, you have your kids in the same system that makes you feel like you're not capable, you know? And so go ahead and and do it and read lots of books. I always tell people, I'm like, just read books. If you do nothing else, just read books and live life together. And the rest kind of just falls into place, you know? And so there's millions of curriculums, and it's so hard to sort through all of those things. And I feel like that's a really overwhelming thing. And so I wouldn't even try to do that at first, you know? I would get plugged in with some homeschool groups in your area or some, you know, moms that are kind of doing things the same way. Look for some of the nature groups, the Barefoot, the Wild and Free, those kind of groups. Get plugged in with those kinds of people. And then I would say, you know, read some books about homeschooling. Find out what your style is. Find out what kind of things interest you. What do you align with? Because there's so many different educational styles. So what feels good to you? What seems right for your particular child, you know? And some kids do really well with a lot of written, structured book work. Other kids do really well, you know, playing and learning through play and going outside and doing all of those things. So I think it's really a personal thing, what fits for your family. And I would also say, if you get a curriculum and then you go, "Ooh, this really isn't working," get rid of it. Do something else. I can't tell you how many things we've used over the years. You know, we'll use things for a couple of years and I'll go, "You know, this really isn't working," or, "This doesn't fit well anymore." So don't be afraid to change things. You're in complete control. And don't ever think you're behind, because I think a lot of people beat themselves up. My kid's going to get behind. Behind according to who? You know, your child is on their own journey, and your family is on their own journey. And in homeschooling, there's going to be seasons where, well, we haven't done school, you know, in a few weeks because whatever, a family member passed away, there was a new baby, someone has been sick, you know, whatever. But don't compare yourselves. And I know that's really hard to do, but don't compare yourselves. Your journey doesn't look like anyone else's. And so find support, find people that are going to support you and encourage you. And yeah, just embrace it and enjoy the journey, because it goes really, really fast.
Yeah, and I've seen this just with my two children. So I can't imagine with you have 10. You must sometimes just look at them all interacting and think, "Oh my goodness, if my life took a different path, you would all be in different directions for like 9 hours a day. You would not be making the connections that you are." Does that ever cross your mind?
I do think about that. They're really each other's best friend. It's a really beautiful thing that they're not separated, and they're not, you know, he's not over here in preschool all day while they're off with their high school friends. And then, you know, they go to school like 7:30 in the morning in, you know, in the high schools. They're going to school at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and then time they do whatever extra stuff, you know, they're doing. They're home at 5 or 6 and they're gone again. So they definitely wouldn't have time for the relationships that they have, you know? And so it's a really beautiful thing. And just have the confidence to believe in yourself that you can do it and keep your family together. And, you know, I don't know, people say public school is normal, but is it? You know, I think normal is family. Normal is keeping our family units together.
Yes, totally. And that's how it was before the Rockefellers invested their money in the school system. And you know, it is crazy. I just love the perspective of having like the 14 years of doing it and you seeing your mom homeschool these three kids and wishing that that could have been you too. And it's like, "Mom, hey, can you just take me with you one day?"
Well,
That's
and
so
my
funny.
mom was the most anti-homeschooling, like when we started. I mean, she was so against it.
When
And
you started it with your family, even though she had done it with that family, really.
she said, "Oh, homeschoolers are weird. Homeschooler, you know, you she did not like it."
How does she
But
feel now?
now, I don't know, either she's gotten used to the idea or she's seen the fruit. And I think in a lot of ways she's seen the fruit and seen, you know, we're available to travel. We can go visit when we want to. We can have long weekends. We can go in the middle of the week. We can do that. We're a little more tied down now that we're so active at our fine arts school. But, you know, there's a lot of freedom in homeschooling too. So.
Yeah, and I find that you definitely feel odd when you ask people to like, "Hey, can you watch the kid for a couple hours so I could do XYZ?" And they're like, "Well, they're supposed to be in school anyway. Why do you need me to watch? But it's yeah. probably me in my head, them saying that. They're not really saying that, but have you ever had that yeah. feeling as well?
Yeah, I think I've felt a whole lot of things and judgment over the years, but you know, because now we have so many and we have such big kids, we kind of have built-in babysitters now too. So
yeah,
it's nice. Like this morning I ran to the store to grab a couple of things and they were able to just hang out, you know, and be with brother, and he was able to handle yeah. it. So yeah.
And it's good for the older kids, especially the boys, like to have that kind of nurturing experience. Yes. And for the little kids, they get to see their older siblings on a day-to-day basis doing things that they want to hopefully aspire to. Like, oh, wow, yeah. he's playing the saxophone. He's playing the piano. I want to get to do that too. And,
yeah.
you know, he wants to become a pilot. Well, they can watch him studying and reading and, you know, they'll take that on. So it's like they really do get an awesome experience of having the littles around and the bigs around. So that's yeah. really cool.
Yes.
Kristen, thank you so much for being here today. I yeah. told you this hour would thank fly you for by. Having me. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to contribute to the show, please consider leaving a small tip using the link in my show's description. Or if you'd rather, please use the link in the description to share this podcast with a friend or on your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. Any effort to help us keep the podcast going is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in and for your love of the next generation.